there's reason to.
God, I hate that song. We got to get new music.
I know. Welcome I know. It just it depresses the shit out of me, man, every time we play it.
I know. I can't wait to get to our guests. But I was just thinking, probably the only people that are on the planet who are so proud to share the new hip song, the new hip-hop song that they listen to and they love so much is middle-aged white dudes. So I'm happy I just shared that song. Only one that cares, right? Only one that would share that. So, odd. Thought I'd put that out there. So, since we're talking about it, this is going to be a good show. So, somebody who's not a middle-aged white dude, let's get her on here because we're wheels are falling off before we ever start. Tiffany, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Hey guys, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
So, first of all, Brian, William, and Nisha saying hi, closing out the year, and we are very happy to have Nisha and her husband back in country. They've been traveling the world for a month, and we're glad safely to have them back and just jet lagged, so that's nice. And so, Tiffany, how about you kick it off? Introduce yourself, because you're just fabulous, but introduce yourself so everybody knows who's talking, and after that, we will get this party started.
Awesome. Well, I don't have any rap songs to share with you at this point, but thanks, Brian. Tiffany Keel. Yeah, Tiffany Keel. And let's see, I'm based out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and have been in HR and recruiting for over 17 years, and currently am the president of our local SHRM chapter, the Twin Cities Human Resource Association. It's about 1,200 members. Also a blogger with Performance I Create. That's been incredibly awesome this year. We've had just a great year, and we can talk a little bit about that as we have our conversation today.
Awesome. Now, are you a Prince fan?
Yes, it's mandatory. When you're born in the Minneapolis area, they hand you your Prince fan card, and you're just a Prince fan, period, from go.
You got a favorite album, favorite song?
There are a lot. My favorite. He does a phenomenal guitar solo in As My Guitar Gently Weeps. I love, love, love that. But anything from, you know, the 70s, 80s, anything that he's done is just awesome.
Yeah, if you go really old school, I like Darling Nikki, just because it reminds me of my outcast youth. And if you go a little bit more into the 90s, the Diamonds and Pearls, there's a bunch of songs that are around that era that I really like.
Definitely.
But very cool. Yeah, I was more of a Prince guy than a Michael Jackson guy. I found that I couldn't really – it's like Elvis people and Beatles people. You really can't like both. You have to –
No.
At one point, you have to like one more than the other. And I like Prince. For whatever reason, I always trended to liking Prince more than Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he's incredibly talented. That's all.
Truth. So the MSP, tell us what's top of mind for you these days. What's keeping you up at night?
Staying warm. I was talking with Brian a little bit earlier. I dropped my son off at school today so he could go hang out with his buddies, and it was -2 when I dropped him off. So I'm hanging out, staying warm.
That's what I'm saying. That's a choice, right? To live above the Mason-Dixon line.
But if I leave, they might take my Prince card away, and I don't want that.
I'm pretty sure he has homes in other places, but
yeah. So one of the things that, it's the end of the year, and I'm seeing people post all their resolutions and the things that they've done. I'm not really a resolution maker. Things kind of come up throughout the year, and I decide if I'm going to do something to challenge myself, I'll do it. You know, I've got people that are incredible supporters of me and what I do, my husband. I've got great friends. And one of the things that I did this year that was new to me was blogging, and I actually started about a year ago with Sarah Williams and Chris Fields, you know, doing some guest posts on their sites, and then joined the Performance I Create team. And what I really found with that is, you know, I'm able to enhance my own individual performance, my team's performance, by sharing stories that, you know, I've encountered on the job, experiences that I've encountered, things that I've been able to do. I can't write about it and talk about how I've overcome an obstacle unless I'm truly doing it. So I can't just make stuff up and think that, you know, people are going to, you know, get something out of that and be truthful about it. So it really has, you know, helped me to, you know, up my game, you know, as I'm working. So the whole blogging game has just been phenomenal for me. And then the Performance I Create team has done some great things. There's, you know, just a diverse group of experiences, of people, ideas. And it's just been great. I can't say enough great things about the PIC crew.
Tell us a little bit about Performance I Create, because Brian and I obviously are big followers and big fans, but for the audience, in case they aren't, give us kind of the backstory, or at least your version of the backstory.
Yeah, my version of the backstory. So as a lot of us that are out on social media find, we interact with folks and then end up, you know, having conversations, whether it's over the phone, Skyping, or meeting in real life, and then you build these great relationships. So I was asked to join this group, Performance I Create. It's a contributor-based blog focused on, you know, performance, leadership, and, of course, human resources. The curator is Chris Ponder, who's based out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Just a real bright guy, lots of great ideas about how to bring things forward, how to step things up when it comes to performance. And in addition to Chris, we've got, you know, everybody knows Steve Brown. So there's Steve Brown, Chris Fields, Melissa Fairman, Justin Harris, Jay Coons, Lexi Foreman-Ortiz, and as I mentioned, Chris Ponder, Dave, the HR czar, Ryan, Janine Truitt, and Sarah Williams. So for those of you that are followers of Performance I Create or any of the blogs that these individuals have, you know that they're just incredible folks. And, you know, we're brought together because of the diversity that we bring. You know, not each of us is, you know, writing the same. We don't have the same topics, the same issues. We share our ideas back and forth. And, you know, lots to come in 2014. There's a group of us that will be at the state conference in Louisiana in April. So a few of us will be speakers on the agenda. And the other few of us will actually be the social media team. So together, you know, just sharing information and leadership ideas through, you know, whether it's a concurrent session, a keynote session, and making sure that those that aren't able to attend the conference are able to follow what's going on, you know, through Instagram, through LinkedIn, and, of course, Twitter.
Louisiana Sherman is going to be fantastic. I again, Ben, just you look top to bottom at the content, and it's just wonderful people. So Baton Rouge, drive-through daiquiris, this is going to be good.
It's going to be amazing. Robin, you know, of course, has done a phenomenal job the last few years putting the conference together, and, you know, I'm really looking forward, of course, to seeing her again. And, you know, what I've seen kind of evolve over the last few years with state conferences is having MCs, and Robin was lucky enough to snag Doug Schaaf, so he's coming over from the UK, so that's going to be awesome to have him there kind of kicking things off and keeping us all, well, maybe kind of sort of organized. So,
the only thing that would make this better is if it was in New Orleans proper and not Baton Rouge. But we're going to make it work. We're going to fight the good fight in Baton Rouge. I'm going to be around a bunch of LSU fans, but we're going to make it. We're going to somehow make it work. Take us into your writing process. How do you, you know, inside the mind of a writer, what do you do to kind of get yourself into zone? Are you a drafter? Are you a
I am a drafter.
All right. Yeah, all right. Take us in.
Totally a drafter. And it's funny because before I started, you know, officially blogging and writing, I would think about situations and think about how I would approach them, or, you know, if I were to encounter a complaint again, you know, a recruiter did something a hiring manager didn't like, or a hiring manager did some crazy, outlandish, ridiculous thing, like not showing up for an interview and, you know, whatever. But now it's, you know, I'll take that situation, I'll start writing it out and, you know, kind of segmenting it, draft it up, walk away, come back, and then kind of read through it again to make sure that there's an actual story. And it may seem like something that's really mundane that we do every day and that you can't, you know, change it or you can't do something differently. But that's what I try to do, is to lay out the story and then, you know, say, okay, how could we approach this? What's the lesson that's learned in this particular situation? And something that kind of resonates with me, kind of a side note, is in my son's school, all across the world, there are terms about leadership and what it means to be a leader. And one of the things that says is leadership is doing the right thing when no one is watching. So that always comes back to me as I'm reading through and drafting out my post. Okay, what would a leader do in this particular situation? And hopefully, as readers are going through and looking at and reading not just what I've written, but what my team members have written, they can glean something from that. And as they are going through what they think are the mundane situations on the job, they can take a step back, pause, say, you know what? We can do this differently. We can approach this situation differently. We can, you know, just take a look at it in a little different way and flip it on its backside, and then, you know, make sure that we're doing something a little bit different to challenge that situation. But yeah, as far as writing, I do draft. You know, an idea will come into my head, or I'll have an experience on the job. I'll get incredibly frustrated, or I'll be completely elated by a compliment that a team member of mine received. Jot that down, come back to it, rewrite it, revise it, throw some keywords in there, and go.
Describe your voice. Tell us a little bit about the voice that you have, or the voice that you're creating or developing, or what you want people to. I was reading the other day about how we perceive our audience and how our audience perceives us. And define audience, and, you know, it could be three people in a room. It doesn't really matter. But what's your perception of your own voice?
That it's real. I don't, you know, intentionally make stories up for a shock factor. It's just real life. Here's what's going on at work. Here's what's going on, you know, in the volunteer world. And I'm just, you know, like Steve Brown's blog, Everyday People, that's me. I'm just an everyday person, just like anyone else who can, you know, log onto their computer, read a blog post of mine. Hey, you know what? I've encountered that kind of situation before. Maybe I can, you know, deal with that just a little bit different. But it's just real straight talk. There's no fluff. There's no, you know, buzzwords. It's just down home. Here's what's going on, and here's how I've dealt with it, and maybe this will help you too. That's it.
Voices that, yeah, got it. Voices that
and
I've
got, and I've got no voices in my head either.
Hey, no judgment. You're in a circle of no judgment right here. What a group therapy 101. The voices that are out there in the ecosystem that you really like, that are different than yours or similar to yours, but just kind of take us through kind of the things that you find really, really interesting in the space.
You know, I try to look at things that are different than mine. You know, it's one of those, if you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on getting what you got. So if I read stuff that's just like me, you know, it really isn't going to do me any good. So I do read, of course, FOT. I'll read some stuff there. Love some of the stuff that I see out there. Let's see. Also, on occasion, I'll read Lori Ruderman, The Cynical Girl, just to see what's going on in her head. Sometimes it's a little scary, but that's all right. I like, you know, just the different points of view. The HR Hound has always got good stuff. Jay Coons, of course, like his no excuses, just straight up here's what's going on. Don't you can't, you know, there's no obstacles. Don't let the obstacles get in your way. Buff them down. Very extremely positive and just, you know, full of energy. I like Jay's stuff. Trying to think who else. There are just so many that are out there. Of course, the PIC team, most of them have their own personal blogs, and I'll read those. A Leading Solution, so Heather Kinsey, Blogging for Jobs with Jessica. There's just so much great stuff going on that, you know, and I do, like I said, I like to make sure that I'm not just sticking with things that are like me. I like to see what other people are doing because it does kind of challenge me to look at things differently and to think about how it approach a situation differently. So I do like that. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. How do you interact with your audience? Are you, if somebody comments on somebody, do you respond to it? If somebody tweets to you, do you respond to every, like, and again, no value judgments, because all three of us could probably have different strategies with this, but how do you interact with the people that read and consume your stuff?
That's a great question. And I don't know that I have a huge following, but when people read my stuff, I do try to, you know, especially on Twitter, I'll retweet it. I'll thank people for reading it. And on occasion, I like to, you know, end a post with questions. So if people are reading through it and they have, you know, if they've got a similar situation, if they respond to that question related to the post, I'll, you know, comment. But, you know, I don't know that I've got a big enough, you know, following that, you know, people are at that point where they're, you know, going specifically to my post. But when that time comes, it will be responding to those questions in the comments, and I do, you know, make sure that I retweet things that people post that belong to me or to other people on the PIC team. Google+, not a huge user of that, but when I do see stuff out there, when I am posting stuff out there, I'll respond there as well. But I like that interaction. And I have, you know, had people reach out to me based on blog posts that I have out there, so I will interact with folks, whether it's directly via Twitter or a phone call. So I like that personal interaction. One of the things that kind of occurred to me as in a conversation with one of my recruiters is something that I do on a regular basis when I'm, you know, in that work mode or networking mode, and it's collecting and connecting. So collect people, collect names, collect information, what people are doing, what they have going on, and then make the connections. So I know William Tincup. I know that he's got this amazing radio show. I meet someone at a conference. They've got information to share. I've collected some information, so now I want to connect this person with William so that this other person can share his information with the rest of the HR community. So collect and connect is huge, just getting as much information from people as I can to make sure that they're connected with the right people, the right job opportunities. If they've got a need, I may know someone who can help with that need. If they're looking for a job in marketing, I know someone who works for a marketing firm. You know, it's all about making sure that people are connected.
Well, and Tiffany, so kind of explain some of the success stories you've had kind of going a little bit further with practitioners on the connections, because I personally feel that's probably the biggest oversight of conferences, chapter meetings for SHRM, just networking as people look at it traditionally, really doesn't make it a good environment to make those strong connections to kind of move forward with.
Right.
And so I love hearing, I mean, you're a straight-up practitioner, and so where connections been of, like, ridiculous benefit that you didn't really plan?
You know, for me personally, you know, not having prepared for that particular question, the first thing that comes to mind recently, the SHRM Leadership Conference took place the week before Thanksgiving, and part of Curtis Midkiff's last hurrah was a social media session. So I was in that session, and there were some folks from Minnesota, so some people from Minnesota SHRM that were in that session. And afterward, one of the folks reached out to me and said, hey, you know, you seem to know a lot about social media. Got her fooled. Could you come and facilitate a session at one of our chapter meetings? Now, I'm not a speaker. I'm not a consultant. I don't go around and, you know, speak with chapters or speak with organizations. That's not what I do. Like you said, I'm a straight-up practitioner. I clock in, clock out every day. So it was a little bit flattering to me to be asked to present to a chapter. That's one of the things that you know, probably consider doing a little bit more of once my volunteer role comes to an end with my local chapter. You know, making connections with people at conferences. I'm kind of at a loss because there really isn't a ton of stuff that immediately comes to mind as far as being a huge, huge win. I mean, it just, because I'm in recruiting, it's second nature and it happens, you know, just taking a name, getting someone's resume, getting it into the hands of a hiring manager, getting it into the hands of another recruiter at another company. I mean, it just kind of happens.
Right, and you definitely being on the recruiting side is, I think, is adds a little bit different flavor to it. But I guess from, you know, my absolutely selfish perspective is the fact that, you know, I've been able to become friends with you and a whole crew of people from Minneapolis, you know, from Minnesota SHRM, right?
Right.
The chapter level.
Right.
I mean, those connections are, for everybody out there that doubts, and unfortunately I think we have a more social stream than kind of the populace, the EHR practitioner populace anyway, because they're listening to the show.
Right.
But they can go tell somebody, make a resolution, 2014, go tell somebody that just because it's a social connection means nothing, because it becomes a real connection as soon as you finally get to meet the person. And it's like it's somebody you haven't seen for a long time, because we were totally interacting and totally doing things and going back and forth and became social friends before I met you in real life.
Right.
And you had your chance not to let that happen, and you didn't take it, so it's your own fault. And so we end up meeting,
right,
becoming real friends, and, you know, if I need something, I know I can rely on you. And that started all 100% from social for everybody listening out there. And this is like one of 1,000 stories plus that I bet me, you, and William go right down the line in LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and go, yep, 2-3 years, yep, 1 year, yep, 1 month, yep, all social, now real. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the same thing happened with, Kansas State SHRM Conference. So I went down there this last year, got to see you again, which is always awesome. Dustin Haverkamp reached out to me and said, hey, you want to come down to Kansas and, you know, blog for us? Wow. I mean, just, you know, being tapped on the shoulder for that opportunity and to be able to interact with, you know, folks outside of the state of Minnesota at a state conference was just phenomenal. Of course, that led to, you know, various other things. And Dustin and I had never met in person, but, you know, being invited down there to tweet, blog, Instagram, and all of those things to make sure, again, that people who weren't able to attend the conference were able to see what was going on. But, you know, we made a connection online, met in real life, and, you know, he, you know, much like you said about me, he is one of those people that I could always reach out to and say, hey, I've got an issue, can you help? For those of you who don't know Dustin, you know, on the HR system side, if you want a guru, he's probably, you know, one of the people you could tap on the shoulder. Or if you got an issue with an Excel document, I'm sure he'd be more than happy to walk you through it.
But yeah, and he is.
But like you said, it's yeah, those kinds of stories are, you know, they start to build up. You collect them. It's incredible the connections you can make when you're being social, when you're using the various tools.
Well, and to your point is he's a brilliant guy, younger guy, one of the nicest guys I've ever met. I met him 2 years ago. First time I ever met him in person, we walked up to joint present at his own conference. And so, you know, literally that's the first time. And so I've known him for a couple of years now. But the great thing about social is somebody appears to be pretty darn nice and smart on social. When I've met people in person, for the most part, I mean, there's outliers, but that's just a medication issue, no judging. But
we'll make sure your prescription is re-upped, Brian.
Yeah. So, but, you know, but guess what? They're probably even more real and more social and smarter when you actually can interact with them. That's what I found. I mean, it's literally, it's not like somebody's completely off the rails, different. When you get there, it's even cooler, you know, to kind of actually interact with them in person, breathe the same air, sit across the table, you know, all that stuff, right? It just makes it easier.
Right.
You have multidimensional conversation. So, and the list is so endless, from the Steve Browns. I mean, the first time I ever, like, walked up to meet him, and I went out of my way when I was in Cincinnati, like, to get extra time to go walk into his office and say hi and go eat lunch with him. Never met him in person, right? And it's just it's one of the million connections we all have, and the power of the community. These are all tools that help you get familiar with people in a community. That's really
right. They're
different. So
absolutely, and you just when you are traveling, whether it's, you know, work or you're on vacation or whatever the case may be, it's, you know, a mouse click away. You reach out to someone, say, "Hey, I'm going to be in your neighborhood. Would you mind meeting up for coffee or beer?" And I mean, you've got all of these people throughout, you know, your social world that you have that connection with.
Yeah, and it's from an HR, you know, practitioner standpoint. Guess what? This is your peer group. This is your research group. This is your therapy group. This potentially could be your new employee, your new employee and/or employer. And it's all information sitting out there that you just need to embrace the process to figure out how to interact with the community. Right? It's really not any more complicated than that.
No. Nope.
Well, Tiff, tell us a little bit about the Minnesota Sherm Conference. Anything that you can share with us, or anything that, you know, we need to know to start thinking about for next year?
So it will be in St. Cloud next year, and then the so not quite as chilly as Duluth. So it'll be in St. Cloud. We'll have probably around 500 or so folks. What's really fun is the following year it will be in Mankato, which is just south of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and then after that we're going to be in Bloomington, which is one of the first-tier suburbs of Minneapolis-St. Paul. So lots of great things coming. I'll be working with Josh on some Minnesota Sherm branding initiative that we've got kicked off this year. But great people, great welcoming folks here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, especially in our outlying areas. But St. Cloud is a great place to come and hang out if you're interested in attending the Minnesota Sherm State Conference. Lots going on in St. Cloud, so I definitely encourage folks to, you know, consider it. And Josh will be helping out with the coordination of that, so it'll be good.
Well, that is fantastic. Tiffany, thank you so much for being our last guest of 2013. I don't think we could have figured out a better person to end the year with. So.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate it.
So, well, folks, guess what? Loaded up a little new music. And this is dedicated 100% to my absolute attempt to be somewhat hip. And now with the style, here we go. Thanks, Tiffany. Later.
Thank you.
In a German bill with a Cuban cigar, in the middle of Paris with a Dominican bar. Great head on her shoulder, she probably studied abroad. She transferred to Harvard from King's College in Martin. She says that I'm her favorite, cause